Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 44 of the Lion of Vienna podcast. It's me, Daniel Murphy. I'm back. It's been a while. It's been a long time. I've done so much since. Hello, everyone. How's it been? I hope you've all had, you know, a good Christmas break. I hope you're all enjoying coming back into the... Well, you're probably not enjoying the wonderful, hateful world of work, but that's how it goes. But hell, since last time I spoke, I've been to Eastleigh, which, you know, that wasn't... lol. I went to Sheffield Wednesday as well, which was not fun. And then, you know, done exams and shit, so hello. It's nice to talk to you again. As I said, I'm going to say now, it's quite a sparse Love Pod today. All of the Love team are either out or busy or just fucking disappeared, apparently. So it's just me and Tom. Tom, how's it going, fella?
Yeah, not too bad. I don't think you're able to get rid of me at the minute. I think I've been on 3-4 in a row.
Yeah, you're regular at the minute. Well, you know, if it's consistency we like, and it's consistency that Bolton have had... that's so good. For the first time in, like, fuck knows how long, wouldn't you say, Tom? Because since the last podcast, there's been two matches. And Bolton have only got two bloody wins, and have only scored three bloody goals in each of the games. And the first one, of course, was the FA Cup replay against Eastleigh. It was 3-2, still a bit of a worrying scoreline. But we then went on the following Saturday and just smashed MK Dons 3-1, and it should have been more, according to everyone who was there. Unfortunately, I didn't see this, because I was in a fucking exam on a Saturday. Who the fuck puts an exam on a Saturday? So anyway, I finished this exam at 3:30. Get out at about... What minute did Darren Prattley score in? The 36th minute? So I get out about...
At 2-0?
Yep. Something like that. I got out, and as soon as my phone came on, as soon as I got on Twitter, the newest tweet was, Darren Prattley scores 2-0, and I fucking celebrated in the middle of the street. I was not expecting us to be ahead at all. But before we get into the first league game since the 28th of December, let's talk about Eastleigh for a bit, Tom. You were there for that, and how was it?
I really enjoyed it. I think the away fans were brilliant.
The best we've had all season, I've heard on a few occasions.
I think it wasn't the biggest away following. There was only about 500, but you know, when the team was, it became clear in the last 5 minutes we were on top.
Yeah.
It looked like the game was won, and they just didn't stop. They were really good. So I mean, and the team on the pitch in the first, particularly in the first 25 minutes, they played very well as well. And overall, if you were a neutral watching it, you'd have thought, a really good game. I really enjoyed it. I mean, the fact that we won means I'm able to kind of talk about Eastleigh as if, yeah, thanks for turning up. Mm-hmm. If they'd have won, I'd have been gutted. But yeah, it was really good, especially for a freezing Tuesday night.
Mm. I wouldn't say lucky, but were, as in for us, but were Eastleigh good for the win if they'd have got it themselves?
No.
I think we just turned on, you know, the league difference actually played a massive part for once.
Yeah, in the first 20-25 minutes, they were as good as us.
Yeah.
But beyond that, it soon became clear that we were the better side, and we took control after that.
Yeah, he's got some nice goals as well. Moxie smashed one in, and he should do that more, because he's only done it. He's only scored for us twice, and both goals have been like smacking it in from the edge of the area, so he should do that more often. But then Prattley's goal was really nice as well. Scholler, who we'll definitely talk about later, with some nice link-up play. And what was the first goal we scored? Was it... I can't recall. Who scored first for us?
It was Medine.
Of course it was. That was a good finish as well. He did well to bring it down in his slotting at corner. So yeah, some good goals for once on the side of Bolton. So
yeah, it was good. I mean, like you talked about, Moxie's, Medine's was a good finish. Moxie's was lovely, and then like you said, the setup with Prattley, Silva really started it on the left wing, and then nice link up between Prattley and Amiobi. Yeah, it was good.
So the going into the fourth round is obviously quite good for us, and we'll talk a bit more about Leeds later, but. Are you happy that we're still going? Because I think a cup, you know, this we've got two wins in a row now, and if this, even if it is a win against a fucking conference side, if this sparks some sort of momentum and some sort of winning run, we, you know, we've got a lot to... It's almost like the draw away at Eastleigh, we've done us a lot of favours in a way.
Yeah, yeah. And it, I mean, it sounds strange, but the best situation for us is to draw the first game. Mm-hmm. And earn a replay against, well, as far as we're going the competition.
Yeah, Leeds. I'm going to talk about it later, but Bolton have actually done the fucking cleverest deal they've done in about 10 years with regards to the Leeds game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good move to do what we've done for the Leeds fans.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said it last week in the podcast, I care mostly about the FA Cup. Before Saturday, I thought we were dead and buried.
Yeah.
Now we've got some sort of a pulse. Mm. Not much, but, you know.
It's surprising what a cup run can do to you, because it is just like a break from the norm, isn't it? And, well, it nearly wasn't when we went behind to Eastleigh on two occasions, like, but... Finally, they've got their act together and they've got a bit of fight of them, and scored onto the MK Dons game, which we obviously will talk about in a bit more detail, even though I don't think either of us was there, but that's just how it goes. We can chat bullshit, it's fine. Prattley is a player I'd like to talk about because he's coming for a lot of fucking justified criticism this season. He's not been nearly as good as he was when earning the captaincy. But I feel like in the last few games, he's not, I wouldn't say necessarily stepped up his performances, but he's playing better. But he looks like a bit more of a leader now. He's just, he's the one taking games by the scruff of the neck. He was the one who got the equaliser against Eastleigh in the away game. He scored the winner against them. And he's scored against MK Dons as well. So he's starting to get a bit of his old form back, isn't he? And like bombing forward and just taking the game by the scruff of the neck, I suppose. And just, you know, standing up and fighting.
Yeah. It's not necessarily just about goals as well. It's his performances as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
I think even when we've been losing games, I think he's set an example for the players. And yeah, you call it captain's performances, and people will question what does that actually mean. But it's when the heads are dropping, you try and take the game by the scruff of the neck, and you try and be brave and make things happen. And he's doing that. And like you said, maybe it started at Eastleigh away, but probably Blackburn at home.
Mm.
He led the team as well, so he's definitely. If we're turning a corner, then I reckon he's leading it.
Yeah, and it is nice to see after he's, not many actually argued when he got the armband, did they? So it's good that he's finally living up to it. But is there any players you want to talk about from MK Dons specifically, or the Eastleigh, for that matter?
Liam Trotter.
Ooh,
if that's all right.
He played when did he first come back? What game was it? It wasn't the Wednesday game. It was the we drew. Or was it the Wednesday game? Wednesday was his first start, wasn't it? Back here, and I went to that, and I was impressed with him. He was tidy and composed, and just wasn't out of place at all. So what do you think of him?
He's very good in possession, or he's looked very good in possession, should I say. I think Prattley plays, or has been playing better as well with Trotter in there, mm-hmm. but he looks comfy on the ball and he seems to make things happen. And one thing that he does that we're maybe not used to seeing is he does the simple things when he's got the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't try and do too much. I think he's settled in. And do you know what? I thought we'd seen the end of him when he went.
Yeah, so did I. I'm pretty sure I wrote that he'll never play in a white shirt again. But
he goes to Forest, and then he went to Forest, and then his loan was extended, and it just seemed as if that was it.
Yeah, it kind of fizzled out at the end, though. He was starting at first, and then he just wasn't getting on at all. So maybe Dougie's actually done us a solid for once in his fucking life by rejuvenating him a bit. Maybe, I don't know. He looks a bit leaner, just a bit more hungry, I'd say, which is a bit of a weird contrast, but you know what I mean? He looks like he's come back with a point to prove, I'd say.
Definitely, definitely. Like I said, it's a bit of a strange one. Mm. It just seemed, I don't know, it seemed like he was done and that was that, and then he's come back. I mean, when his loan at Forest finished and he came back, I remember reading the statement from Trotter and the club saying, "I'm a Bolton Wanderers player and I'm back to play for Bolton Wanderers." And I just thought that was really strange. Yeah. It struck me as he was talking crap. But, you know, maybe he's good for his word and he wants to come and graft, which is good. I think we need a bit of presence in midfield, don't we?
Definitely. Like, Vela, when he's been played there, he's had his good games and his bad games, but he's just not, A, with the right-back situation, and B, with just, he's not really, I don't think he's had enough time there to really settle in, which, you know, due to the right-back situation. So him and Prattley, it just seems to work. I don't know what it is. They seem to complement each other well, where Trotter will sit, he allows Prattley to bomb on, and it also allows Matt Davis to play further up. And he had 97% passing on the weekend at Saquon Duns after his move to Sheffield Wednesday's brought down. So do you think he's going to stay now, or do you think we'll actually see some of his better side coming out again?
I hope so. I think at the minute it's indicating that that's going to be the case, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But it's come thick and fast, as they always do, and then we'll see where we are then. So,
mm-hmm.
Go on.
Well, I'd say, I take it you've seen the highlights from OK Dons.
Yeah.
Have you seen Old Wellington Silver ripping heads up? That is, it's a shame. No, there's two things that are such a fucking shame about Silver in this situation. It's that, A, he's not done that more often because he has it in his locker and he can. He just needs to be stopped. I like the petulance of his game. I love it when he fucking dives and screams and rolls. It's well funny. It's always funny when it's happening on your team. But he just needs to, it just seems like he's not fanning about with it. Now he's being direct. And obviously he's fanning about with it in the sense he's doing tricks and shit. But he's always going goalwards instead of backwards and stuff. And the other bit, why can we never have the likes of Clough, Clayton and Silver all in the team at the same time? The stars just never align, do they? It's so infuriating.
That's just the way it works for us, doesn't it?
Yeah, but Silver, he even got his own highlight reel on the YouTubes, which has only happened from there. I mean, the last time it happened was when Andre Moritz did a massive 40-yard Rabona pass, 2 years ago now. But do you think we've still got the best to see of Silver? Do you think he can kick on and be consistent, though?
Do you know what? Against Eastleigh, I didn't think he had a good game in the first half.
Right.
And to the point where I made a fool of myself because I opened my mouth and criticised him. when things weren't going too well for us, I looked at it and I just said, you've got no excuse. You play for Arsenal.
Yeah.
You know, the rest of them have got an excuse. This is their level. This is the club they play for. And he was trying to make things happen and he was probably trying to do too much and it wasn't coming off for him.
Yeah.
But then he played a role in the third goal, and then against MK Dons, he was just unbelievable. Mm. I didn't know where it came from, and it's just typical of me to
call shit every week if that's what happens.
I know. Well, the thing is, I remember what was it? It was Robin van Persie. I remember I made a stupid comment after a few drinks, called him average, and then he went on to score every time he kicked a ball and signed for United, and my mates have never let me forget it. But it was the same again. As soon as I criticise a player, they go out and prove me wrong. I called Dele Alli a myth when he got his England call up. I said, "Oh, he's a myth," and then the next minute he thinks he's Frankie Worthington.
I think he's better. Wait, fucking look at that, man! No, his goal. No, I'm joking, obviously, but his goal, that was something else. That wasn't it. Where was I? I was out in I was at the pub after my exam because I needed a fucking drink. Several. I found a pub that I was serving that was giving away a Strongbow for £2 a pint, mate. I was buzzing. But that came up, and I was like, "Oh, Ali scored again!" And then Twitter just fucking blew up with it, and I saw it. I was like, "My days, he's something else, that kid." But
he was, yeah.
Speaking of players who are scoring out of this world goals at the weekend, we've got a choice of two here. Which one am I going to go for? I think we're going to go for Shola Miobi.
You've got to go for the big man.
He scored at the beginning, he scored at the... Well, he scored at what we think is the end. Shola Ameobi. What a class goal. What a... Just a nonchalant goal. Just, yeah, that's Shola fucking Amiobi for you. God, tell me about it, Tom, tell me about it.
Oh, just the drop of the shoulder, see you later. And then, I mean, he went through sooner, and like, I didn't go to the match on Saturday, so I was stuck listening to the radio. And as he was going through on goal, I thought, he's going to do it, this is it, he's going to finish with a goal. And then it came to nothing. But, I mean, what, like, just brilliant to have two defenders. And they weren't just around him, the defenders.
Yeah, they were on him.
They were on him.
Sean O'Meara picked the ball up at practically halfway line and scored without releasing it.
it was unbelievable.
It's like fucking time warp to 2004 or something.
Little drop of the shoulder. And then he's in one-on-one, and he's just the way that he strokes it past the keeper, he was like, I do this every day.
Yeah, well,
it was superb.
I think we'll talk more about him and his proposed departure and whatnot in the next segment, but yeah, it was fucking very nice. And what was even more pleasing is that we scored moments after MK Dons could have got back into it, and Bolton Wanderers have been known to fucking collapse once we concede a goal. So for us to just retaliate straight away and have be a bit more mentally stronger, that was very pleasing for me to see.
Well, yeah, I was speaking to somebody at work today, and we agreed that it's very rare for Bolton Wanderers to concede a goal in the way that we did and turn around and score again. You know, usually it's a nervy end to the game and we crawl over the line.
Yeah.
But I think that was really pleasing, the fact that we went back up the pitch and just said, Shola, do what you got to do.
It was a surprisingly clever goal as well, because there was actually fucking about three MK Dons players in their own half, because they were obviously going for the equaliser. But it's not like us to actually be smart and try and counter-attack like that either, I find. We usually just run it into corners and stuff, but instead Shola, none of that fannying about, just straight in and sticks in the goal. So it's, yeah, it's just very pleasing. I know it's obviously a great performance for us, but I think, from what I hear, MK Dons were very, very shit in the same breath. So,
yeah.
But we've got one more player to talk about, and that is another goal scorer. It's young Rob Holding. And right, this is funny, right? Matt, I've got a mate who I went to Eastleigh with, who I went to Sheffield Wednesday with, and each of these games, he's put about £20 on Rob Holding to score.
And he didn't do it on Saturday.
Correct. I got out of my exam, saw that he'd scored, and I was like, please tell me you did it. And he was just like ready to just jump off a Barton Bridge or something. It was... But super. Yeah, Rob Holding, with the injury to old David Wheater, which is quite unfortunate, but has a silver lining, Holding's been moved into the centre, and he's been doing alright at right back. But as I've been saying about what seems to happen with Bolton defenders is that a young centre back will come in, but he'll be put at right back. Same happened to Oscar Freckeld, and then they have a bad performance there, and then they get labelled as shit. That definitely happened to Freckeld against Norwich on last year on Halloween, and that's what led to Vella playing right back. But with Holding, he's had a couple of dodgy games. Rotherham was pretty bad, and another one, if I look at my fixture list, Rotherham was bad, and I believe Huddersfield, it might have been at home. I think he was a bit getting caught out a few occasions, so he's had a couple of wobbles, but he's held his own, and now moved back into his natural position. He looks like he's the latest prospect to actually hold down a proper, you know, he'll probably get his own a good number next season and stuff like that. So,
do you know what? On Tuesday night, I don't think he had his best game.
Do you not?
No. I don't think he had a good... I mean, it was really good to see him recover, you know, to the point where he was good to go and seemed to have a solid game. But I thought he struggled.
Right.
Yeah, I did. I thought he struggled. Not so much the second half as we started to take over, but Eastleigh were getting in behind on the left-hand side. Silver was offering Moxie very little in terms of support.
Moxie's very attacking in his own right, isn't he?
Well, yeah. But then once they got in behind Moxie, it was holding and covering. And yeah, he didn't look entirely confident, but What about that run in the first half?
See, I've not seen this, so please tell me about it.
He just decides that he's, I don't know, he might have a Brazilian granddad or something, but just off he went. I mean, the shot in the end, we'll not talk about the shot at the end, because it was a bit P-roller back to the keeper, but he just was unstoppable. And they cut it in onto his right foot, edge of the box, yeah. All he needs to do is work on that right foot finish, and can do that every week.
With Holding, like you said there, you might have struggled against Eastleigh. I do believe maybe both of their goals came from that left side, I think. But people have to remember, he's only 20, and that's what, his second game? Or Eastleigh was his first or second game playing centre-back for us. So he's just got to give him time. He's a good player. It's obviously just the experience of playing a centre-back. I suppose playing alongside Dorian De Vete doesn't exactly help much either, but congrats to him for scoring his first goal. It was certainly made me very happy when I saw it. And I think before we bring this segment to a close, have we turned a corner, Tom? Do you think I know it's a bit premature to say when we get battered by Leeds on Saturday, but do you think we can mount an escape?
We are approaching a corner. we're not turned a corner, we're approaching a corner, and not necessarily Leeds at the weekend, but the next couple of league games.
Well, let me have a gander. Who do we play next? We've got Wolverhampton Wanderers away next, who've just suffered two long-term injuries. Rotherham at home, which is fucking massive. And then we've got a really difficult six games after that. We play Brighton, QPR, Birmingham, Burnley, Leeds, Ipswich. Then we play Preston and Bristol City. And then it's back to the difficult stuff with fucking hell, our running. Oh shit, the bed. Our running from April 2nd is Reading, then Brentford away, then Derby away, then Middlesbrough at home, then Charlton at home, which is good, then Cardiff away, which we usually do okay at. Then our last two games are Hull at home and then Fulham away. So we need to start picking up points now if we're going to stay up, aren't we?
Yeah, but I mean, it's too far to be looking, you know, towards the running. I think we take it 2-3 games at a time. Leeds, I'd like to think we can win that. Wolves away, I still think that's another winnable game. If you think about, like you said, the injuries they've got, the players they've lost in January, that's looking good. And then Rotherham at home, we really need. I mean, we underestimated Rotherham last time when we went away. We underestimated them massively. But you know, if we get a couple of results in the way, beat Leeds in the FA Cup, get something from Wolves, and then
surprisingly hopeful end to the segment from
especially
Tom
from me.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll bring that one to a close now, and we'll come back to discuss some news and happenings in the world of Bolton this week. So set it, stay where you are. Welcome back to Love Pod 44. I'm still with Tom. It is just me and Tom. There's no one else, unfortunately. And news this week, it's been, as always, it's been full of highs, lows, win. A win for once, which was a high, but then lows. I forgot to put this on the running order, but it was announced that, that the staff wouldn't get paid. And that wasn't treated very well. You know, obviously, that didn't go down well. But then, you're going to have to explain this to me, Tom, so I hope you understand it a bit better than I do.
So do I. I don't know what you're going to ask me. Go on.
It's meant this court order. So the court order's been given. I presume that means, from what I grasped, it meant they unfroze the accounts so we can sell this car park. And have we sold a car park for 20 million?
That's the largest figure I've heard. I mean, I've heard as little as 6 as well.
But how the fuck's a car park worth that much? I suppose it's because of the money you make from it, I suppose.
In terms of the long term, if you think about, I don't know how much of the car park is planning on being sold, but if you think about what they can build on there.
They're going to build on it, I never thought about that.
Assume so, yeah. I mean, for that price, you'd assume the building.
Surely they'd just...
I mean...
But they need the car park for the fucking stadium, though, don't they?
Well, I don't know what they're going to charge for a car park space if they want the money back of a £6 to £20 million.
They could do the
investment.
What they've done on the other side of Middlebrook, you know, with the car park under restaurants and stuff.
Yeah,
suppose that's a possibility.
Yeah. I mean, I would assume that they would build something on it. And, you know, long term, you can think of that. I don't know the business rates and the rents that come from it.
Yeah, fair enough. But enough about real estate, because...
Yeah, enough adult talk.
Yeah. So this quote was given. We had, I presume the car park's actually gone and we've got the money in. Does this mean that the staff are getting paid? Because I don't think that's actually been cleared up anywhere.
No, it hasn't.
The feeling around the place is that it is, because everything seems a little more hopeful.
Yeah, well, the main thing that it's going to deal with is the winding up order over unpaid taxes.
Is that all paid? That 2 million for taxes are paid then? And that means this court order that coming up, the other court, when we're at the end of February, are we in the court again?
Yeah, I think the reason why we got the extension is the club was able to, not to, so much to prove, but to convince judge, whoever was looking at it, to convince those looking into the case that we could raise the money in the time. So I'm assuming that is going to pay the bill off.
Yeah.
At the worst case scenario, it leaves us with, what, £4 million left? Best case scenario, if it is 20 million, £18 million. We could buy 2 Benicophobies for that.
But I presume this money gives us leeway now to... Well, A, we're not fucking dead yet, and then if this tax bill's paid off, HRMC can't liquidate us, which they wanted to do. So that's good. And it means that until the takeover finally happens, we have some power to keep hold of Clough, Davis, Prattley, etc., etc., etc.
Well, you'd hope that, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah.
I mean, again, there could be a reason behind why people like Zach Clough and Mark Davis aren't exactly running out of the door. You know,
nobody seems to want to go, do they? The closest we've come is like Mark Davis. You know, that move seemed done, but he's not exactly sulking about not leaving, is he?
Yeah, well, he's straight back into the team and playing. He's not, like you said, he's and not he'll be sulking.
Surely it'll be his 10... Is he on 8 seasons now? So, man, if he stays, like, there's no reason that if he stays we get a new one, he could get a new contract in the summer, then he could end up being a fucking testimonial player. Imagine if he got his testimonial before Kevin Davis got his.
I was going to say, if he wants a testimonial, he best put his request in now if he wants it before the time he's 50.
That'd be weird, but... So, in summary, is this court order given is good, yeah? Just for
I can't see any reason why it's not good.
And it's meant to make this takeover, well, fuck knows which takeover, a bit easier now as well? Because there's no...
Again, you'd assume so, because I think the concern for the buyers at the minute is do they have to shell out for this short-term debt?
Yeah.
This debt that needs paying off almost immediately. Do they need to pay it up front? And if so, how much of it? And if this comes through, if this happens, I mean, I know we're selling an asset, essentially, or part of it, of one of our assets. But like you said, it does make it a bit more attractive to those taking over, because there's less start-up cost to buying the club.
Well, at least it's good news, I suppose. But some sad stuff, I suppose, is that Sean Armiot be gone or not, Tom? Because his contract's run out, yeah? But Lennon wants him to stay, and no one else is going to come in for him, you'd have thought, would you? So what do you reckon is going to happen in this scenario? Because it's quite strange.
Well, we've been talking about players not wanting to go and sticking around. I think his contract's out, but he's just turned up to the training ground today with his boots. Yeah. And he's like,
I can't express how much... I've still not decided if you're going to hear said project at the end of this podcast yet, but I've been working on a Scholler and Miomi-related project for last week, right? He fucked it up for a start by scoring. Not entirely, but it's a bit annoying. He could have done it like a bit sooner instead of fucking all me. Nearly gave it away then. Nearly messing it all up. But I just thought I need him to have officially left before releasing it, really, or it'd be look a bit stupid if I'd release said project and then he's staying.
Well, he's technically gone.
Yeah.
But you
it's
never
a bit like
know
a Stuart Alden situation at the minute, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here, a little but
bit.
No.
Only I don't see Scholler ending up on Fox and NBC anytime soon.
Ah, he'd look great though.
But do you know what? If the money's there to offer him a contract, then you think that it suits everybody. Like you said, it'd be difficult for Scholler now, to find a club where he can get the time on the pitch at this sort of level.
And he's got two goals and eight off the bench for us, which isn't a bad record, really, is it?
No, not at all. I think he could find He could find another Championship team.
Yeah.
But whether or not he'd be able to get the game time that he does with us, I'm not sure. But also, it's the idea of, you know, moving and trying to settle and get yourself up the pecking order as well. So I think if the money becomes available, there's no doubt Lennon will offer him another contract, and I don't see him turning it down either.
Yeah, I suppose the question is, do you want him to stay? Do you think he should stay? I mean, with Heskey, like, seemingly died, and Medine's groin problems, we've got no strike, and Clough's out. Clough's, inverted commas, injured. And, you know, I'm sure he'll be back come bloody February 6th when we play Rotherham. Well, he'd best bloody be, anyway. Do you want him to stay?
In terms of... It's a necessity, I think, keeping him on the books as a striker. Like you said, Medine decided on Tuesday night that he'd had enough and just walked himself off the pitch, which was a bit strange. What was even stranger was the fact that he was all right to start on the weekend, and nobody seems to have really picked it up, the very fact that he just walked off the pitch.
Well, it seems like he was forced to play a bit, doesn't it? And I don't really like that, considering he's our only striker who can play 90 minutes, really.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Woolery's making his way into the squad, and for not 1 minute am I complaining that he's making his way in, because I'm sure he's earned it. But you'd like him on there as maybe your third option. But, you know, if it's Medine starting up front with half a groin and then Woolery and Dobby on the bench, you're worried then, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. But speaking of other departures, there's been rumours today, really, and yesterday. Charlton and Preston, North End, are apparently in for Liam Feeney, and Ipswich, who've long been rumoured to be after this player, are apparently back in for captain Darren Pratley. So, I just think we'll start with Feeney. Tom, would you be bothered if he went? Because I think it'd bring celebrations mass. So that if we imagine it, I'm trying to imagine just the scene on Twitter if we got, let's say, 500 grand for Feeney.
I don't think we'd get half a million for Liam Feeney, do you?
Not really, but any fee is a profit, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's not like us to make a profit on a player. Would I be happy? Probably not. I've had this discussion two or three times, to the point where he's not by any means our best player. I do think that some fans make him out to be worse than he is.
Yep.
But he's not our best player. But the fact that, you know, you look at the stats and you see how many goals he's scored and created for us.
I
feel like I'm coming out in support of him here, and I'm a bit cautious to do so. But regardless of whether you like him or not, we would miss him. So I don't know.
Just for the fact that he's never injured. He's played about 50,000 games in a row.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to tire.
Yeah.
He seems to be one of the rare players that has a consistent run of form.
He's consistently
a 5-6 out of 10 every week. He's never brilliant. And then probably some people would argue that yes, sometimes he is terrible, but you know what you're going to get from him every week. He'll put the ball onto his right foot, maybe fake a step over, win about 16 corners per game.
Yeah.
And then you never know, he might pop a cross in the box or pop up with a goal. So yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be celebrating if he left, but like you said, it depends on the fee.
It depends
on what we get for him. If he does go, we will end up missing him, because we don't seem to have the replacement on the bench.
No, well, I've been contesting that for a while, because I don't see why Tom Walker's suddenly been thrown into the fucking wilderness, but hey ho. And as well, Pratley, what do we think about Pratley? We discussed earlier that Pratley finally started stepping up as the captain, so it'd be a bit of a blow if he suddenly left now, wouldn't it?
I would be very surprised. In fact, I don't think there's any player other than Pratley that would be less likely to leave, if you see what I mean. I'd be very, very surprised if Darren Pratley left. I just think it's just a recycled rumour. Do we know where it's come from?
No, I don't actually. I Mark Isles tweeted about it saying, if I get it up. This is going on far longer than I expected it to do. It just says practically back on the ITFC radar, so maybe, like I said, it has been rumoured on several occasions, hasn't it?
Yeah, I just think it's an old rumour recycled. I don't think he'll be going there. Well, I'm going to stick my neck out and say I don't think he's going there.
How much of a fee do you reckon we could get for him, considering he signed a new contract in the summer? Or before the summer?
I think if you think about Ipswich, they don't tend to pay money for players, do they?
No.
Ipswich don't pay money for anybody.
That's why I don't believe it, because, like I said, he's one player that we could potentially get about 700k for or so.
Yeah, I was going to say, anywhere between 400 and 800 grand seems a fair enough price for him.
So I don't really see it. I could see a team coming in for him that isn't Ipswich, but I just feel like... Like I said, they don't seem to be a team who actually sign anyone in January anyway, unless it's like an Arsenal winger on loan or something.
that decides that he's going to have his best game for them against us.
Yeah, pretty much. And then the final bit of potential departures is the news that came as quite of an emotional blow to a lot of Twitter, is that teenage prodigy, goal-scoring wonder Alex Samidaze has been training with Derby and has apparently, according to various rumours on that internet, declined a professional contract here or another extension of his contract or whatever. Now, personally, I agree. I'm quite gutted with this. If he goes to Derby, after all we've seen of him, after all, giving him another chance, I know there's no loyalty in football, but, you know, he was left in the cold after failing at Manchester City and we gave him another chance and all that. I'd be quite upset. Not upset, but feel like a missed opportunity if he left. So what do you make of it?
I don't know. I mean... I'm trying to think of it from his agent's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can go to Derby now for next to nothing, or he can have, you know, if he takes his time, he might get a chance in League One. If he starts well in League One, he has one of those seasons.
Benik Afobe has gone from League One to Premier League in a year and a half.
I'm trying to think, you know, like even Owen Doyle. He was brilliant in League One. He went to Cardiff for a fair whack.
He's fucking wank at Preston.
He's not good, is he?
No.
But he went. You know, he went into League One, scored a few goals, and he went for a big fee. And his agent must be thinking, you know, if this goes right, they're both in for a bit of a payday if he gets a starting place in League One.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, you're looking at Derby, top of the Championship, or thereabouts. Looking towards the Premier League, and then you've got Bolton looking the other way.
Yeah, I know. It's ambition. You couldn't fault him for going there, especially when they probably have a better record of playing youngsters. Never necessarily their own youngsters, apart from, I think, Will Hughes, but like the likes of George Fawn. They sign a few young players who go into the team, but on the same breath, they do spunk millions on like Andrew Vyman and stuff like that as well. So
yeah, I mean,
it's give and take, isn't it?
They tend to take young players, like you said, the ones that fit the way that they try and play, which is generally nice footballers, maybe a bit soft, but play football the right way. So you never know. But then again, he's 16 at Derby, not thinking for 3-4 years' time.
Yeah, when he could genuinely be in this our team next season if all goes well.
Yeah, this is what I'm thinking, yeah, from his point of view. But we just need to maybe get Clough and Rob Holding in his ear, because they seem to eat, sleep and breathe Bolton Wanderers.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just get them in his ear and tell him that he's best off staying.
Well, here's hoping. Anyway, that's the end of segment two of the Love Pod. We'll be back in just a moment to preview Leeds, and then we're out of here. Hello everyone, and welcome to the third and final section of Love Pod 44. There's not going to be a fourth segment, because there'd be very little use in doing a League One quiz or any form of game when there's literally two of us. So we're just going to talk about the Leeds game in, I imagine, minor detail, because there's not much to say really. I suppose, Tom, team-wise, we're going to be unchanged again, providing there's no injuries as such.
It's looking that way, isn't it?
You need build consistency, don't you?
Yeah, it's looking that way. I mean, Also, there's no midweek game for us this week, yeah. which is not something that we're used to. So yeah, it's looking like it's not going to change too much. I mean, the players that we seem to be talking about every week just aren't appearing. Casado, Pizano, those two have disappeared off the face of the earth.
Casado's still kicking about on the bench. I think it's just because Moxie's form's just keeping.
Well, yeah,
justified.
Yeah. Who else? Prince seems to be enjoying his time on the bench. Derek.
I don't know where Derek is. Fucking evaporated.
I think Derek's got a job in Starbucks on Oxford Road or something. He looks like a Starbucks.
He does. You know, he does. You could see him wearing like a black shirt with a little green apron. Just going.
Yeah. All he needs is like a tattoo of a shape on his forearm.
Yeah, like an isometric pattern.
Square, and just doesn't have to explain it. It's just a shape on his arm.
I'm not going to criticise because I do have shapes on both of my arms.
So Derek's not going to play because he's working in Starbucks. There you go. You've heard it here first.
Yeah, so it's just going to be the same. It seems like the only possible change might be up front with Medin not being that fit, which there's no one else to replace him unless Woolery gets a start, which I can't see. So I think it'll just be same again. Try and build some consistency.
Yeah. Well, that's what you've been searching for since September, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Consistency.
Yeah, and I think that's it really, isn't it? Well, why do we think the game will go? You know, you like the FA Cup or whatnot?
That's the bit we were alluding to earlier
with, you know, the best deal we've done, the best bit of business we've done in 10 years is by basically giving Leeds half the fucking stadium with 7,000 tickets.
Yeah,
hopefully they'll sell out £20 a pop.
And all the money that we make we'll probably have to spend on policing the occasion, but no, I've got a couple of mates who are Leeds fans and they're quite happy about it.
I'm sure they'll understand, like, as a club who's suffered similar plight, they'll understand that, you know, they'll probably all go for the more, you know, go for more.
And to be honest, you know, Leeds fans usually, Leeds, Derby, Wednesday, Forest, they usually get stuck with paying 40, 45, 50 quid or whatever it is, a ticket, just purely because they know they're going to take 5,000. So I think, you know, they'll appreciate the fact that it's a cheaper ticket than they used to paying.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, give them 7,000, let them make lots of noise. They'll soon shut up when Gary Medin scores a winner.
I'd give them 12,000.
Like you said, it's good and it's all in the spirit of the cup, isn't it? You know, it's all about the atmosphere and, they know what we're going through. You never know, we might end up making some friends in West Yorkshire.
So how do you think the game's going to go itself then? Do you see us, you know, continuing the magic of the cup after crushing and fucking dismantling the dreams of the lowly league, non-league side on Tuesday?
I don't think we'll lose.
That's promising.
I don't think we'll lose. I'm going to go a conservative 1-1, but I'm hoping it might be a win, but I just don't want to say it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
want to jinx it.
I like the Leeds side. Have got a good players. They've just signed. I can't say it, but from Brentford. You know, it's Brentford. What the fuck are they doing? Literally selling out the spine of all what made them great.
Oh, have they got him? Have they?
Yeah, they signed him.
He's a decent player.
Yeah, they've got Judge as well, who's a very not Judge. Sorry, Stuart Dallas, who's a very good player. They've not got a bad team. Leeds. It's just like the consistency, really, that, you know, as always, what's tripping them up a bit. But I don't know. I don't know how this game. I think it'll be low scoring. I think it'll be a good atmosphere as well because of Leeds, which will be fun. But I don't want to put a prediction on it because I'm too much of a pussy. But anyway, well, Tom, with that segment's lasted about 4 minutes and 30 seconds. Is there anything else we can do to prolong it just a little bit longer?
What could we talk about?
Oh, bloody hell!
We could talk about me being positive for
51
minutes of podcast.
I know, it's mad, don't it?
I know.
I've got, as I was saying to you then, I'll go into it in full detail. Got an exam tomorrow. I will be off soon, don't worry. But I couldn't give much of a fuck about it. It's the worst thing I've ever done, right? Imagine this for a lecture, right? It's at 10 o'clock in the morning after you've just had 2 hours of shorthand, right?
You're going to have to tell me what shorthand
Google
is.
Google it.
Is it like there's this journalist slang where they just write shit?
Yeah, Google it.
Right, okay.
Have a look, and I want to hear your audible reaction.
Oh, you want me to do it now?
Yeah.
Right, okay, so I'm just Googling shorthand.
Yeah, or T-line shorthand, either way.
T as in cups of tea?
No, just the letter.
Okay, T-line shorthand. Oh, wow.
Look at the state of that.
It looks like if you asked a child
yep.
to reinvent the English language.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's basically a streamlined version of English.
Why would you do that?
So you can write quick, so you can take
notes. It's
not
saving quicker. You any time whatsoever.
It is. It
B's
is.
Just what, slightly larger.
No, it is. It's how you write it and the direction you go and stuff like that. Trust me, it's mad how much it does actually. I've got to get 100 words per minute by the end of the year to pass my, like, get the certificate in it.
I was interviewed by somebody.
Did a ticket short.
They were writing it short, yep. And I immediately didn't trust them. I immediately thought they were writing something else to what I was telling them.
No, but that is what it's for interviewing. But basically, after that, then it's 2 hours of this Greek lady who speaks, you know, great English for a Greek person, but it's still, you know, a Greek person speaking English for 2 hours. I hope nobody from uni listens to this. Oh, I am.
That's what I was just thinking. I wonder how many Bolton fans there are in Sheffield, because I know three.
Well, there's me. There's a guy. I know of three, including myself. But anyway, none of my lecturers are Bolton fans, I hope. But anyway, like I said.
Well, sally off. You never know.
But, basically, it's this lecture where she would talk for 2 hours off a slideshow, which was nothing but white background with black writing. Just piles of it, like 40 slides each, and that was it. And it was atrocious, and I don't care. But yeah, that's what I've got tomorrow. Lucky me.
Lucky you.
Yeah, but anyway, unless you've got any fucking stories you want to share.
No, mate. I can't even pretend to be interesting.
Yeah, well, let's knock this on the head then. I think we've done well to milk as much time out of it as we have, considering there's only two of us. And, well, we've managed to make this up to 8 minutes now, so that'll seem like for you enough, won't it? So, Tom, where can they find you on those interwebs?
Find me on the Twitters, on the Facebooks. Well, no, probably just the
Twitter. Don't be giving that out.
Yeah, don't be giving me the Facebooks, weirdos. Down the Manny Road.
Yep.
See the Burned and Aces.
I am, of course, at the Broski, as always, and you can follow Line of Vienna at Line of Vienna Steve, still don't know who he is. You can check out all the hashtag content, and there's loads of it, and there'll be something. No, wait, never mind, I'll edit a bit. There's lot. Fuck. Fuck my outro.
It doesn't matter, it'll be 9 minutes now.
Yeah, true. But anyway, loads of content on lineofviennasuite.com. And then get on the Facebooks at facebook.com/lineofviennasuite and check out all the shite. Listen to us and all that type of stuff. You know where it is. You're listening to this, so you probably know who we are and where we are. I don't know why I bother doing it.
It's I hope you don't nice know where intro. We are, you freaks.
Anyway, Tom, say goodbye.
Ta-ra.
And it's goodbye from me. And here to play out the Line of Vienna podcast episode 44 is me singing the Shola song. This song's a eulogy to Shola Amiobi. He came here in October amongst a load of laughter, but he proved the doubters wrong real quick when he stuck the ball between the sticks. A debut goal to savour, though it didn't do much favour. Shola played a few more times and actually looked alright. He held the ball up with grace and had a surprising turn of pace, but in front of goal he was quite bad, which made the people very sad. And now his time is over, it's goodbye to Shola. So it's farewell Shola, we hardly knew ya. We have no coin to spare, so you're gonna have to go elsewhere. We wish you all the best with the career that you have left. And if you don't mind, I'd like to sing for one last time. Shola, Shola.